Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Moon Knight. I know that the MCU cast has done an episode every single week, but I wasn't there to discuss it. It's my turn. All that and more after the snap we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, it's so good to be back.
Dude, it's good to be here with you. And it is, you know, an old school episode. Just the boys.
Just the boys. Audio.
Dems to boys, just recording audio without even streaming to Twitch. This feels weirdly comfortable and strange at the same time.
But not Doctor Strange. That's a different episode.
Yeah, we'll have to do that another time. Actually, we have done that. Twice, and we'll do more of it. We've still got a few weeks until freaking
Ms. Marvel.
That's the one.
That's the next property.
We still got a few weeks till that. So let's talk a little Moon Knight. You have not been able to do any Moon Knight casting. We tried to get you on. None of it worked out. But you were so excited about this show. Tell us. First of all, what was it like to watch a Marvel series and not podcast about it?
It was the worst. It was the absolute worst because, like, I would get up at 5 a.m. and watch it.
I love that you're still doing it. I love it.
Like, I would get up at 5 a.m. freaking early.
You were getting up as I was finishing editing the episodes. I was falling asleep and you were getting up. That's great.
I would watch the episode. And then I would immediately start getting ready for work and go to work. And nobody at work had seen the episode. So I'm like, like even the people who like watch Marvel things that I was like frequently talking to about these sorts of things, they hadn't watched it yet. So I couldn't talk about it. And I'm like, I have no, there are thoughts and and like, I had to hold it in and it was awful. It was awful, Matt.
Sounds terrible.
You know, I think I took for granted all that time that we got to spend in the wee hours. Wee hours WandaVision. Late night Loki. Like the whole year of like super crazy middle of the night podcasting where like we got to immediately do the thing. I feel like I took that for granted because I missed it. I needed it. Mm-hmm. I needed it, and it wasn't there for me.
Yeah, man. As much as we, you know, the show has grown, a lot of people are listening, and I'm so thankful for the community of people to talk to this stuff about. I love doing the feedback episodes. I'm so gratified that there's this community around the podcast network, and there's people out there that care about hearing episodes and stuff. The reason I started this podcast is because I just needed to talk about these things, and it was just a good excuse to get together with a buddy once a week and just like dig into a show I like. And that's still at the heart of it why I do this, you know? Yeah. And so like, I totally get that. I haven't had that break that you had, but like, I think hearing you say that is like, I think I would feel the same exact way. Just like, no, I often say that me and Dave Robertson, when we were six, we would watch Star Trek on Fridays, and then we would go to church, and we would like walk around outside the church after church for like an hour just talking about the Star Trek episode from that week. It was like we were 6 years old podcasting in a parking lot, and like that's you know, to no one, of course. But that you know, I just, it's just something I've always done, and I would miss the heck out of doing this every week.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was nice to be able to go to sleep.
Yes. Yeah. That's
for the
sure.
most part. but then like that came, there was a cost. There was a cost, and I did not know that I was unwilling to pay it, but I had to.
Yeah.
Aside from that though, I really enjoyed the series, and I thought that, you know, it was really, oh God, how do I put it? Like, I don't want to be accidentally offensive to people who have mental health issues, who have DID, or, you know, struggle with any of that in their life. So if I am accidentally offensive, my bad. I thought, though, that the portrayal that Oscar Isaac put forth for us was fantastic. Like, he got to act through three different characters, you know, two of which we saw a lot of, but he got to act through three different characters throughout the series, each of which have very different personalities and very different, not just speech mannerisms and accent, but like the way Steven physically carries himself yes. is different from the way that Mark carries himself, and the way that they walk is different. Their gait is different. Like everything mm-hmm. he went so far into it, and it was glorious to watch that happen.
Yeah.
And then, like, out of nowhere, surprise of it all, we got another hero that just weren't expecting out of Layla.
Yeah, oh man, for sure. Scarlet Scarab, what a badass. I could not believe how good this series was. It was just so, so cool. And talking about Oscar Isaac's acting, like, I heard him in an interview recently talking about how hard filming the first few episodes were because of all the reflection talk, you know? Like, oh, he's yeah. like having to... He had to time out every one of his responses and then his reflection and how he talks about one of the biggest things in acting is reacting and like feeding off of the other actor. And he just didn't have any of that. So he really had to like design each performance to be like a reaction to a thing that he also had to design to be a reaction to the thing he was designed. It was this like weird, you know, trippy thing that he had to do. And he's talking about how hard that was. And like, that sounds hard. But then you get to the last couple episodes where he's just swapping between the two personalities. And stuff is mind-blowingly cool.
Yep.
Just like you said, mannerisms, gait, voice, jawline. Like, he just like completely transforms mm-hmm. somehow, like physically, into Steven and Mark. And man, I cannot wait to see him, what he does with Jake. Just cannot wait. Oh.
I love also, like, along with all of that, you know, you had the difference in stance, gait, you know, posture, everything. Like, along with that, we got like a very, very physical or a very visual representation with the different Moon Knight suits. You had the Mr. Knight with the nice button up suit, and then you know, the kind of traditional ceremonial armor for Mark. What is Jake's armor going to look like? What's his Moon Knight costume going to look like?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know anything from comics. And this isn't how it works in comics, right? Like, in comics, it's not each personality has their own Moon Knight suit. The Mr. Knight suit is just some other manifestation of Moon Knight or something, correct?
I don't remember if the suit is, like, reacting to whichever personality is there. Right. I do know that there are several panels where, like, you know, like Spider-Man's talking to him and he's like just flipping through the personalities, but the suit doesn't change.
Yeah. And BVK talked about how actually the Jake personality is often the one that's like pulling the Moon Knight suit out of his trunk. You know, he's actually often the one that's actually going in to be a superhero. And it's like this sort of strain. Yeah. They've really changed what was in the comics to this. So I don't know. I don't know if there is another Moon Knight suit that would be fitting for Jake. He also seems to like wear all black and stuff. I could see like a black interpretation of the Moon Knight suit, like a dark,
ooh, like a new moon.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good. The new moon suit. Ooh.
New Moon Knight.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We solved it. There you go, Marvel.
There it is. Yeah, got the check.
We're back, baby. Back serving Marvel, giving them all the ideas for the future.
Yep. We nailed it. I'm glad we're back.
Yeah, man.
And to circle back on the discussion or the mention of Scarlet Scarab, like, Layla this series has been awesome, and I love that she's so what's the term? Like, she was able to stand up, like, mentally, physically stand up to the Egyptian gods and be like, "No, I don't want to do that."
Yeah.
Like, you know, because obviously, like, Mark, you know, as he was dying, was just like, "Please, you know, save me. I'll do anything you want." Mm-hmm. But Layla, like, she saw all the crap that Mark had to go through as the avatar of Khonshu, you know, the the Fist of Khonshu, as it's often called.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want that. No. No, yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I love it. And I also love, like, when she finally does succumb, she does it kind of on her own terms. But I still, as much as Tarret seems kind and kind of sweet, and that voice, I still get this vibe that she has this deception that she's trying, you know, she says, yeah, just temporary, sure, temporary, but, like, we're gonna have so much fun. Like, it just all seems like a trap, like a superpower honeypot.
You're troubling my spirit now, Matt. Like, I had that childlike wonder. I was allowed to believe that she was just like, yeah, sure. You say it's temporary, but I think that once you get in here, you're just gonna like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be best friends.
Yeah.
Instead of like, yes, I will see you enjoy the power, and then you'll want more.
I think it was the mention of the father that really got me. Like, you know, your whole, like, regret about your father and your missed connection with him. By the way, he's here with me. Don't you want to come hang out? I could relay messages. Like, it just seems, like, real, like, sketchy. And I don't feel that yet, but I feel like it's coming, and I'm worried.
Yeah. Like, you're kind of manipulating her at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You jerk. Gods are jerks. That's all there is to it. Like, Odin's a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, Odin's dead, so.
Mm. Yeah, don't speak ill of the dead.
Yeah, my bad.
The dead gods. We're probably going to have a lot more dead gods coming soon.
Ooh!
Speaking of, did you see the thing going around this week? There's a, apparently, I guess it was a picture. I don't know if it's on a trailer or what, but I guess Thor Love and Thunder, slight spoiler-ish, whatever. It's in a promotional image. There's a picture of Valkyrie sitting with Jane as Thor on, like, a throne. But in the corner of the shot, and it almost seems unintentional, but you know Marvel, they do this Easter egg-y thing. There's a person sitting at by the throne with a panther, like, headdress on that looks almost Egyptian. And that actress who is in that scene is listed as the god Bastet, which is the same god as Bast that is from Wakanda, but it's also the Egyptian god Bastet, the panther goddess. Like, this is all tying together with Thor Love and Thunder in a very interesting way with Gore the God Butcher. What if Bast is one of the gods that is, you know, killed? And, like, what if that sets Wakanda into, like, chaos somehow or something, you know?
Oh, man. Ooh. So I, You got me down a path here, man.
Yeah, man. I figured it would send you somewhere.
So in comics, there was a situation called Siege. I've talked about Siege a lot before. But it was a situation where Asgard came to Earth and was kind of just hanging out. You know, it was a super comic booky thing where it was like floating outside of Buxton, Oklahoma, you know, just like above the ground, but you know, it was there. And then there was like a political situation where, you know, there was a misinterpretation of like events and like a lot of people died. And, I think it was that Volstagg was fighting against one of the UFOs who, it doesn't matter, but he was fighting a villain and there was collateral damage. And then there's like sensationalists use that to rally political clout and lay siege to Asgard to say, you know, you can't be here anymore.
Right.
My thought is that with Asgardians being here, like being in Norway, and it looks like they turn it into a bit of a tourist attraction where like there's cruise ships coming in and everything. So I'm thinking there might be a situation there that is kind of a catalyst for political unrest between nations.
Right, right.
Like
absolutely.
Wakanda and Atlantis.
Mm, yeah,
especially with Atlantis, there being cruise ships.
Whole other thing. Like, I mean, you could absolutely, we've talked about Atlantis possibly coming in Black Panther 2, like even before they lost, we lost Chadwick Boseman, and you know, the, yep. we've always been talking about how Namor might appear, but like, what if instead of there, it's here? What if like one of the gods that Gore comes to kill is an Atlantean god, or like, yep.
And then they don't know it's Gore and they blame somebody else, and then yeah. they're at war. It could be that like Atlantis blames Wakanda and Asgard has to be like the mediator for mm-hmm. that. Or it could be that, you know, Atlantis blames or you swap the roles for Wakanda.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yeah. So like either way, Atlantis is like, we're blaming this on somebody.
Right. And we've seen it in the past, even if there's no reason to blame them directly. They could yeah. just like the Avengers were sort of blamed for, you know, the Sokovia and for yep. which, you know, that was more their fault or order the situation where Scarlet Witch, you know, set off the bomb with Crossbones. Like all of that are things that Avengers get blamed for.
Yep.
And, you know, like they didn't necessarily cause them, but they're there. And you could totally see if Gore comes to Earth and ends up killing gods, like if he comes to Earth after the Asgardians, but ends up killing other gods or other, you know, whatever leaders or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that could get real bad real quick. Cause then they're like, your presence on the Earth is causing us, you know, all this trouble. So you gotta go.
Yep. Oh man. And then you get a siege style situation, but it's like, it's Atlantis laying siege to this coastal city.
Like Atlantis and Wakanda combining forces to lay siege to, you know, combining for, I mean, we see Valkyrie in that, like sitting and looking at the, like a UN council or something, like sitting in her little suit. Like I think that whole thing looks like it's going to be, there's going to be some mm-hmm. politics in that movie about Asgard and where it sits now and where the refugees go now and all that stuff. I think that's going to be a big part of it.
Oh man, and that comes in early July.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So yeah, that's so anyway, that's our thoughts on Moon Knight.
The last 15 minutes being thoughts on
Thor: Love and Thunder. Jeff's back. We talked about Thor a bunch. That happens.
Yeah, I mean, what can I say?
You bring the thunder, man. You bring the thunder.
Hey.
All right. Well, what? Any other Moon Knight thoughts? Like we've basically talked our time. Like what do you think? What's your like biggest takeaways for like what happens in Marvel because of this? Like I don't know.
I was so worried in episode, I think it was 4. I was so worried that they were gonna like
get rid of Steven.
Well, no. This is when they were in the mental hospital.
Yeah.
I thought that I was so scared that they were gonna be like, oh yeah, this whole thing has just been in his head.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's been completely debunked yet. Which is
I know.
Yeah, and like it never really
like when he was like latest gators and like fell back, like, it might still be in his head. I love that that's up in the air, but I feel like we're going, like, because we got to see all of these avatars, you know, in the Great Pyramid, because we got to see all of them and we got to interact with multiple gods, I think that that is a strong tie-in to Thor: Love and Thunder. And we're going to see a lot, we're probably going to see several of them get murdered by Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah.
Butchered even.
I think it's pretty likely. That will tie in directly.
There is absolutely a reason that they showed us the wall of all of the other gods that were encased in stone.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gore is going to go there and open them and kill them, or open them and recruit them to kill the other gods.
Yeah. No, I think you're very likely correct. That's a good point. Like, what if Gore goes and frees them to fight the other Egyptian gods and then starts like an Egyptian god war and he's just like reaping chaos through the Egyptian pantheon. Oh man. So much. That's smart strategy right there. Where you know, you get other people to fight your battles for you. And then you just kill the last one standing, you know?
Yeah. And then you're the last one standing.
That's right. Gore, you tricky bastard.
You tricksy bitch.
We're definitely like putting a lot on gore there.
Yeah. It's not watch him be like a mindless brute, not even like really the actual villain.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like the real villain's like American politics or something. Like it's Norman Osborn, he's the real bad guy, and it leads into Secret Invasion. Yeah. Hey, I might like that actually.
Yep, probably would. You probably would. I think because they have Christian Bale playing him, I think they'll give him lots to do. I think that Christian Bale has been really underserved by the last like couple of trilogies he was trying to be in. I like yeah, not just films, trilogies. it's pretty expansive here. I mean, I think that his appearance as Batman has some of the best Batman movies there are. But
however,
him as Batman, I liked Batman Begins, but after that, he basically just doesn't. They don't do much with his character. I feel like he's kind of.
He doesn't grow.
Yeah, he doesn't grow. Doesn't change. He takes a break from Batman, comes back to Batman. Like it's a whole thing. And then you've got him as John Connor, and like that could have been so cool. John Connor fighting for the future, like actually finally getting to see that, and then they really, really did a sort of poor job.
He whiffed it.
Yeah, yeah, they sort of whiffed it. And I don't feel like... I love him as an actor. I grew up loving him. Where's all my Newsies heads at?
I was thinking American Psycho.
Yeah, oh yeah, that too. I just wanted to go as far back as I could. I'm hopeful that Marvel's learned their lessons about underutilizing great actors and that they'll like really give him some meaty stuff to do. And it won't be, you know, as you describe, he'll him just being a brute. And like, if you're going to be taking down gods, you got to have some tactics.
Yeah, probably. I mean, gods are schemers. They're schemers. To quote that other trilogy.
Well, man, okay. Look, we keep jumping to Love and Thunder. It's obvious we're going to have to do one of those episodes soon.
Yeah, we are.
You are even.
I mean, that trailer was so good.
Yeah, yeah. I get all right. At this point, we're just going to call this episode "Moon Knight and Love and Thunder."
Love and Thunder at night in the moon. Night.
Have you ever danced with the Moon Knight and the Pale Devil?
You ever danced with the Thunder and the Pale Moon Knight?
That's better. It was better.
There it is. There it is.
Okay. Well, man, I just happy to have you back. I'm glad you liked Moon Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say that it was a great interpretation, like, you know, as a mental health expert or anything like that. Like, it may have been awful for some mental health experts. I don't know. But I was sold. And that's the most important thing, is that I was sold.
And DID is a sort of, I talked to my therapist about it, and like, it can be a controversial diagnosis. It can be all kinds of like interesting, and there's lots to it, and there's different perspectives on it, and there's not necessarily agreement among every, you know, professional. But a lot of the people that I read and listened to and watched on YouTube talk about their experience with this that were actually like DID sufferers, like, I heard some really positive things. I actually haven't listened to her final episode, but there's a girl on YouTube, and I'll try to link it in the show notes, but there's a girl on YouTube doing, that one of our listeners sent in, that was doing, as a person with DID, she was doing Moon Knight episodes week to week. Mm-hmm. And, what was kind of cool is in the second to last episode, she was like, I really don't like the idea that Steven's dead. Like, that's not really... Like, that used to be a thing, this sort of forced, like, killing off your whatevers to come to peace, and, like, that's not really how it works. Like, how I've experienced it and how it's better is if they learn, you learn to work together, and you learn to utilize them together, and she was like, I don't know what they'll do in the final episode.
They did exactly that.
And then, like, yeah, the final episode was exactly what she described wanting, and that made me feel really good about, you know... What she was saying.
The thing that I love so much did the right thing.
Yeah. That's so rare. Wait. This ending isn't problematic? I don't even know how to feel.
I'm so proud of you, Marvel. They grow up so fast.
All right. Well, man, anything else you want to throw out about Moon Knight before we get off of here?
Nah, I feel we've taken up enough of the time for Moon Knight. We've dedicated a lot to it.
We have. We needed to get a solid Jeff's Corner up in here.
That's fair. That's fair. I figure I'll talk more about it as we go. And I really hope there's another season, because that character has so much more. Like, they set it up perfectly to go into another season and
for sure
have the whole thing, you know, like there could be a whole other like discovery between Mark and Steven, as far as like, how do we, like, are we still sleepwalking? What the hell? How? And oh, it's actually Jake.
You know, I don't know if you caught this, but we only caught it because of the podcast, probably. But during the last episode, Disney Plus changed the wording on the website from series finale to season finale.
To season finale,
yep. Yeah. So it seems that they are going to do a second season. Yeah. So I'm pumped about that.
Yeah. They haven't announced it yet. And then we just got an announcement today that Daredevil series is in the works for Disney Plus.
Oh, really? No, I hadn't seen that.
Sir.
What the hell?
Charlie Cox.
Seen that. That's back. Amazing. That's freaking amazing. Oh, I you caught me off guard here, buddy. I didn't know that. How are we not talking about the Tub Top? Damn.
Okay. This is a Moon Knight episode.
Yeah, well, you know, that didn't stop us with all the Thor and Love and Thunder talk.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, man. Well, new Daredevil. That's crazy. Well, we'll definitely be back to talk about that when I'll have to look into the details and like where that reporting comes from, everything.
It came from Variety.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yep. That's a good source.
Solid source there.
Damn. Well, now we got to talk about that for another half hour. So,
we need to talk about that She-Hulk trailer.
Yeah, we do. Actually, we're going to talk about the She-Hulk trailer. We'll be back soon with more Moon Knight talk, and we'll probably do a news and feedback episode this week, because we've got some general feedback, and there's a few big pieces of news that I've seen come around. I've been kind of adding them to my little list here, but including the She-Hulk trailer, which is what we're going to go record right now. So, peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.